Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as State Director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thanks again for listening to Telling Future Generations. Today, we're continuing to air the second part of a four-part parenting series by George Barna called Raising Children to be Spiritual Champions. What is your MAP goal for raising children? Or as George Barna will say, what's your list of character traits that you're willing to go to the mat for, that you're diligently seeking to instill within your children? Good parenting doesn't happen by accident. You need to have a plan. We hope you enjoyed listening to today's program with George Barna.
So if that's your priority, then the second thing that we found that these parents had learned was that you have to totally immerse yourself in the child-rearing or parenting process. I know, you got a full-time job. Maybe both of you in the house have a full-time job. You've probably got other activities that you try to do. We're told we're supposed to exercise all the time. We're supposed to do a lot of other things constantly. But we have to keep in mind that this is something that comes first. And so what that looked like was, first of all, in concert with what we talked about in that first session, they started this process with their children when they were very young. When I asked them, at what point did you intentionally begin to do all the things that you were doing to try to raise a spiritual champion, the most common answer I got was 2 years old. They weren't waiting until kindergarten. They weren't waiting until high school or college. They understood they had to start very early because the spiritual battle starts early. And a lot of them, because they tended to become more and more spiritually sensitive as they matured in their relationship with God, they said, yes, I can see that my child is undergoing spiritual battle very early on. Remember that what we said was that you are essentially who you're going to be for the rest of your life by the age of 13. And so starting at that 15 to 18 month period is very important. We found, secondly, that not only did they start young, but they were very intentional about what they were doing. They did not believe that they could wait until circumstances happened and then simply respond to the circumstances. They went into the child-raising process with a plan. They worked hard at implementing that plan. But part of their process was that as they implemented the plan, they were also continually evaluating, is it working? What of it is working? What's not working? How can I change this so that it's going to work better? Do I need to have a wholesale revision of what I'm doing? But they would always have a plan and then work the plan. That was critically important to them. They believe that the desired outcomes are not going to happen randomly, spontaneously, or accidentally. And yet in another piece of research I've done with parents recently across the country, what I found is that most parents do kind of believe that who their children becomes is an accident of life. They don't believe that they're going to have that big of an impact on it. And I can guarantee you that if you don't go into this with a plan, you're not going to. We know that that plan has to be customized for each child. Now this, I've learned since the book has come out, is kind of controversial. Because a lot of parents believe, well, it's not fair to the kids if you have a different approach with each child. And yet what we found from the parents who are very effective at doing this was that their mindset was there is no one-size-fits-all approach to parenting kids. Every one of your children is going to be different. They have different ways of thinking. They have different personalities. They're going to have different experiences. They're going to have different levels of intelligence. They're going to have different goals in life, and on and on and on and on. They are very different. They may have some similarities, of course. You'd expect that. But the reality is what these parents said is, look, if I'm going to try to raise them to be spiritual champions, I believe in a God who's big enough to allow me to understand who these children are and to create the process around the individual. Each one of the disciples was different. Jesus ministered to them differently. And so it's the same thing that we're trying to do with our children. Each of the children may be of equal value to God, but they don't grow the same way. And consequently, our plan needs to reflect the same biblical principles, but adapted to the reality of who each child is. We saw that there was the desire also to recognize that each child grows at his or her own pace. It's interesting in America, there's this kind of desire to push kids through childhood to get to adulthood as quickly as possible. But what I found with these parents, the revolutionary parents, is that they were in no hurry to see their kids become adults. They recognized that this was a special period of time that God had designed for the kids to begin to mature, to have the kind of developmental procedures and experiences that they needed to become who God wanted them to be. And so they weren't interested in rushing their child through it. But here's something critical, hear this. It's imperative that you be consistent in the application of those principles. You may approach it differently with each child, but you've got to be very consistent in those principles. You have to be predictable. Kids respond well to predictability, kind of like dogs. They like it when they know what the answer is. They like it when they know what they're supposed to do. They don't like chaos and confusion. They feel uncomfortable in that situation. And so what these parents were trying to do was to be very consistent. One of the things that struck me, I did not expect this coming out of the research, when we talked with the now adult children of these parents, and one of the questions that I asked them all was, what was the single most important thing that your parents did to raise you to become the person you are today? And the most common answer, more than 4 out of 5, again, a shocking number, gave this to me, it was they were always consistent. I knew what they were going to say. I knew what they believed. I knew where they were going to go with this. That consistency was critical to them growing up to being the kind of person they'd become in Christ. Now, in order to be that kind of predictable and consistent parent, what the parents told us is that you need to be able to anticipate what your children are going to do or try to do or likely say, so that you can think through how should you respond. We're not great spontaneously, so the more we can think ahead to how we're going to react, the better off we're going to be. But I also got some great advice from a lot of these parents. They said, look, I'm not the greatest at anticipatory thinking, but I figured as long as I was about 10 seconds ahead of my kids, I could make it. So that's really all you need. You don't need to think months or years ahead. If you can be 10 seconds ahead of them, you're going to do well. Part of the reason why consistency is important is because it facilitates providing structure to children. Children need structure. Many psychologists, family therapists, doctors, and other people have talked about the need for children to have structure. And these parents said that was absolutely true. And so they know that their children hated rules. They know that their children didn't like hearing about the duties that they had to fulfill. They weren't pleased with the kind of standards that they had to live up to. But ultimately, when we talk with these kids as young adults, they said, you know what, those were lifesavers for me. The fact that I knew what the rules were, the fact that I knew what would happen to me if I broke the rules, the fact that I knew what the standards were at all times. That's what helped me to become somebody who could think for myself because there was such consistency. And that's what enabled me to become who I am. Now, when parents were trying to do these things, what were they trying to build? First and foremost, character. They were focused on the character of their children. And as you go through the scriptures, you'll find a lot of different character traits. I've done that, and every time I go through the scriptures, I come up with a different number of character traits, but I figure it's somewhere around 4 dozen different character traits. And I asked the parents, well, you know, you really can't be effective if you're trying to do all of that. So what did you focus on? And what I found is that there were about 20 particular character traits that they focused on. On average, each parent had maybe a dozen or so of these character traits that were the, I'm willing to go to the, you know, to the stake for this one. And so when we put those all together, it wound up being about 20 different traits. And you can see those listed up here. And of course, you'll recognize these in the pages of Scripture. There are passages that talk about this as being the fruit of being a disciple of Christ. That's really what we're trying to do here. You know, in John 15:8, Jesus is instructing the disciples, and he says, look, you will be my disciple when you bear fruit. And then he goes on and talks to them about what the fruit looks like. The fruit is really character. It's who you are deep inside when nobody's looking. It's the real you. And so these were the kinds of things that parents said, boy, if I can get these kinds of qualities bred into my children, I think we've got a pretty good shot at them being followers of Christ and being the kind of people that we want them to be. And of course, it raises the question then for all of us as parents, what's your list? If you had to specifically identify what are you strategically, intentionally, and consistently trying to do in terms of character qualities in your children, your grandchildren, your students, whoever it may be that you get to influence as children, as you think about character, what are you trying to create? Can you specify it? All right, so the third area that we found that these parents invested in was establishing non-negotiable boundaries. And so the first thing that meant was that they had to have certain rules that were inalienable. You could not break these rules, and if you did, there would be consequences. This is what some of the parents told us they called their sacred territory. You do not trample on this sacred territory, or you pay the price. There was no flexibility. There were always negative consequences. And I was happy to find my wife and I had an expression that we used all the time with our kids. And I'm not putting myself in the category of a revolutionary parent, but we had at least one thing that overlapped with them. And that was the expression, choices have consequences. Today, my kids are in their early 20s. And when they come home and I give them a hard time about something, before I get to the punchline, they put up their hand and say, I know, Dad, choices have consequences. So being able to help your kids understand these things and having phrases and boundaries is very important. Again, what were some of the critical rules? We found that there were probably about a dozen of these rules that at least four out of the five revolutionary parents were trying to enforce. Things like always telling the truth, never cheating or stealing, making sure the parents always knew where the child was at all times of day, respecting other people no matter what the circumstances might be, helping and serving others whenever possible, controlling their speech, not judging other people, taking good care of their body, mind, and soul, actively pursuing their faith, doing their best in all things, especially in school, fulfilling their household duties, and when they were punished, accepting the punishment as something that they had earned. These were the non-negotiables that most of these parents pursued.
Thanks again for listening to Telling Future Generations and this special parenting series with George Barna. Joel 1:3 says, tell ye your children of it, and let your children tell their children and their children another generation. In this one verse, there are four generations listed: you, your children, their children, and their children's children. What a ripple effect down through the generations. Parenting children is vital, and raising them to know and love the Lord and passing on your faith in Christ so they too will know and love the Lord matters most of all. That's why we must tell the future generations. Thanks again for listening, and we hope you join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699 or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations.